Day. We are at the beginning of the National Eucharistic Revival, a movement led by the Catholic bishops of our country to reawaken our awe and appreciation of the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. By the power of the Holy Spirit and the words of Christ during Holy Mass, the bread and wine are totally transformed into the body and blood, soul and divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Since it appears to continue to look like bread and wine, we cannot know this by our sense of sight, taste, or touch, but by the decision to trust the Lord Jesus who loves us and who chooses to present himself in this way, we accept this supernatural reality. And if we have struggles in believing, we need to just pray, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Because in a Pew survey several years ago, those who had professed to be Catholic, only 1/3 of those surveyed believed as the Lord Jesus Christ teaches about his presence in the Eucharist. This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you. The Lord Jesus offers himself wholeheartedly for our salvation, but he also asks us for a wholehearted response to live in relationship with him. And the mission of this National Eucharistic Revival is, quote, to renew the church by enkindling a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ in the Holy Eucharist. So it's important to get the doctrine right, but also to see the relationship that undergirds the rituals that we celebrate in command from our Lord. However, we can look at ourselves and be tempted to discount our ability to offer a wholehearted response. We should not declare impossible what Christ makes possible when we make following his teaching and example our purpose for living. When we make the teaching and example of Christ the perspective from which we conduct our lives, it is possible. It is a process, but it is possible. Our pilgrimage to this altar every Lord's Day provides a measure of how we are preparing to meet the Lord at the end of our lives. And if we are uncomfortable about how we spend our days between the times we come to this altar, the Lord calls us in his love to change, to be prepared. The church calls heaven the new and eternal Jerusalem, which is a reference from the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation. In today's gospel reading, we hear the description of the Lord Jesus being resolute and determined to go to the earthly Jerusalem of the first century. This is where he will destroy death with his death on the cross. The earthly Jerusalem of the first century is where he would restore life with his resurrection from the dead. His loving obedience to the Father is a commitment that is never intimidated by evil. His love confronts evil and conquers over it overwhelmingly. The consequences of his loving obedience overcomes the consequences of disobedience in the human condition. Indeed, we can live like Christ with the same determination, for this is the Passover of the Lord. And he wants us to be intimately participating in it. During the responsorial psalm, we claim the Lord is our inheritance. And having a free will is part of this inheritance as men and women created in God's image. Acting in ways that demean our dignity and exploits others is an abuse of our free will. St. Paul wrote about the flesh in the second reading, meaning a life that is separate from what God intends for us. He said, "For you were called for freedom, but do not use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Rather, serve one another through love." We love God for the sake of who God is. God is love. God is mercy. God is goodness himself. That's why we trust that God enables us to fulfill our destiny. We love others for their sake first, promoting what is for their true and lasting good. There are opportunities to take up as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ through his teaching and example. For Jesus has come to show us how to be authentically human, and therefore, that's an opportunity. That's a blessing. But there are obstacles that may prevent us from enjoying that opportunity. And the Lord Jesus shows us those obstacles in the gospel reading today. The first obstacle is to reject following Christ, whether entirely, which I doubt is the case of anyone in here, or partially, which could be the case of anyone in here. Jesus sent messengers to announce his impending arrival, and when the Samaritans heard that Jesus was coming, they were not interested in meeting him because his destination was towards Jerusalem. You see, the Samaritans did not see the center of their worship as Jerusalem. The Jews did. Even though the Jews and Samaritans shared a common Israelite heritage, they became separate about 600 years before the gospel reading, during the time in which Babylon had taken over their lands. Jews thought that they could not compromise their Israelite heritage and combine it with Samaritan culture. They thought that doing so would be a denial of their vocation to draw all nations to believe in the one and only God. However, Samaritans thought otherwise, and their compromise did lead to a corruption of their faith. And since Jerusalem was the center of Jewish worship, the Samaritans established Mount Gerizim as their center for worship, so they were not interested in talking to Jesus. But the response of James and John was problematic. For the Lord Jesus had come to save all people and to extend that invitation to all. And before he ascended into heaven, he commanded the church to be filled with the Holy Spirit and make disciples from every nation, including Samaria. God never gives up on those who have rejected him. After wanting to call down fire on the Samaritans, Jesus shows James and John that he has not rejected the Samaritans. And he even continued to reach out to the Samaritans through his church. The reason why Jesus reached out to the Samaritans through his church was because There was a chance for them to change until they had exhaled their last breath. What happened in the Acts of the Apostles? Those who participate in the Bible study that I have every Thursday know, for in the 8th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, Deacon Philip, in accord with the mission that the Lord had entrusted to the church, preached the gospel in Samaria and performed many miracles in the name of Jesus. And as a result, a number of Samaritans were baptized. And then the apostles Peter and John came from Jerusalem to celebrate the sacrament of confirmation, laying hands on them, asking the Holy Spirit to fill the newly baptized Samaritans with the fire of God's love. There's another obstacle that can prevent us from grasping the opportunities the Lord wants for us to enjoy on the way to the new and eternal Jerusalem. It is to define faith as merely a feeling to be experienced. A lot of churches now want to talk about their worship experience. That's all right in terms of talking about the dynamic purpose of worship. But again, the audience of worship is God, not ourselves. And yes, it's good to have an empowering feeling from worship. But one makes a mistake if they measure what their faith is like according to what their feelings are like. A person enthusiastically came to Jesus and said, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus replied that enthusiastic feelings will not be enough to last on the journey of discipleship. For where is Jesus going? To the cross, to the crucifixion, to people mocking him, to people denying him, to people lying on him. "I will follow you wherever you go." But some people are tempted to say, "Well, not that way. Not over there." Following the teachings and example of Christ must be an act of the will. We cannot be fickle disciples, following Jesus only when we feel like it. It's a choice of love to persevere, even when the enthusiastic feelings are not there. Carrying the cross of commitment will not always feel good. Temptation gives an invitation to what we may think feels good, but provides pain for a lifetime. Consequences God never intended for us to endure. But resisting temptation does not always feel good. Trusting that God is still good while we deal with difficult circumstances does not feel good as you struggle to trace how God is present. As we will learn once again, being in conflict with others as we practice our faith is not an enjoyable experience, particularly when that conflict is among family members, friends, neighbors, co-workers, fellow students. But Jesus shows us through his resolute determination that continuing to follow where he leads is worth all of it. For not only does he go to the cross and the crucifixion, he goes to the resurrection. Practicing our faith gives us a joy and contentment that transcends feelings, that avoids fads, that avoids what's popular now. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, we read in the Epistle to the Hebrews. Do not be carried away by strange teaching. If the first century disciples needed to hear that word. Certainly the 21st century disciple needs to hear these words. We cannot allow fluctuating feelings to relax our resolve, discourage our determination in Christ, or make us prone to procrastinate. The third obstacle on the way to the new and eternal Jerusalem is to attempt to negotiate with Jesus when it is the right time for us to give ourselves wholeheartedly. One person wanted to wait until his father died, and there was no indication that was an imminent moment. Another person wanted to wait to say goodbye to his family. And while they seemed to be good reasons, they were really excuses for them to say, let me wait until it is a convenient time to give their lives wholeheartedly. But we need to remember, in love, the Lord says tomorrow is never promised to us. I've been a priest for 28 years, and I continue to remember what happened during my fourth or fifth year of priesthood, when, as part of my assignment, I regularly visited the local hospital for Catholics in the hospital. And I met a person who had been in the hospital before, in the critical care unit before, a person who had volunteered without my prompting that they were not an active disciple of the Lord Jesus in the church. When I saw that person the second or third time, I said, you know, you can begin anew. Why not celebrate the sacrament of reconciliation? I'll walk you through it. Why not trust in the love and mercy of God? It was a Thursday. The person said, let me think about that. I said, well, Friday is my day off. I can see you on Saturday, but you don't have to wait till Saturday. You can call on Friday, and one of the priests, we had three priests in that parish at that time, the priest on duty will come see you. On Saturday morning, I called the hospital to see about visiting the person. The person had died on Friday, and there was no indication that any of my fellow parish priests had been called on Friday. Now, God is the judge, but it should remind us of the perils of procrastination when the Lord calls us to follow him, being resolute and determined, and he gives us the virtue of courage to say, I will do it in whatever circumstance I face, because God is always faithful in his love, in his mercy. He didn't abandon us to sin and death. He even came to share in our humanity, to taste death for us so that we could triumph over it, to take on the sins of the world for us so that we could be cleansed of them. We do not have to give up when we have backtracked on the journey of discipleship. With God's help, we can get back on track. Do not think that we cannot remain determined to live like Christ. Christ dwells within us and calls us to this altar, invites us to be nourished by word and sacrament, to depend upon him, to allow his strength to work through our weaknesses. But we have to be willing. We can't just wait and wait and wait and say tomorrow will be the day that I do it, because that tomorrow may never come and it will be too late. I'm not offering fire and brimstone. I'm offering the reality of what Jesus says in the gospel reading today. And in his love, he warns us. Don't take God for granted. Don't take the journey of discipleship for granted. Don't rely upon things that will not sustain you on that journey. Rely upon the one who gives strength. And to believe that as you come into this church, you will really encounter the Lord in his most holy body and blood, soul and divinity, and will strengthen you to do what's right. And if there are any obstacles that prevent you from receiving him, don't wait to make the move to remove those obstacles. For Jesus is on his way to the new and eternal Jerusalem. And there were three or four people in the gospel reading who apparently did not think it was a convenient time to follow him. In response to the great love and commitment that our God shows us, he invites us to embrace the opportunities. The opportunities to take the time to read about his teaching, to follow his example, not only by ourselves with the Lord, but together as a church with the Lord in the lead. It is always eternally rewarding when we allow Jesus to strengthen our resolve, to renew our determination, to see what the end will be. And now let us profess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty,